This CD is brought to you by Agape Word Center Church International, located in the heart of Beltsville at 6728A Industrial Drive, Beltsville, Maryland 20705. Agape is pastored by Pastor Kasana Chongo and Lady C. Now, stay tuned for the word. We hope you will be blessed with this recording.
Praise the Lord. We started talking about dealing with the spirit of Mammon. That in this month of October, in this season of warfare, spiritual warfare, I said, usually in the month of October, we deal with spiritual warfare. I believe that one of the subtle areas of spiritual warfare where the child of God is losing the battle is in this area of dealing with the issue of Mammon. The Bible tells us in, I think it's Hosea 4, verse 6, that my people perish for lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, we quote that scripture a lot, but God was actually talking to the priests. God was talking to the shepherds. He was saying that my people are dying because you are not giving them the knowledge. You are not giving them the knowledge. That's why he says, because you have rejected knowledge, you, the priests, are not telling the people, you are rejecting the knowledge, I also will reject you from being priest for me. Because you have what? Forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. So, it's important that we receive knowledge. Amen. It's important that we receive knowledge, because knowledge delivers us. Many of us, we are busy praying and seeking breakthrough. We are seeking God to do things for us, and we think it's about casting out devils. Some things, it's about receiving knowledge and applying that knowledge. When you apply that knowledge, you receive deliverance, you receive freedom. Hallelujah. Amen. And so as we're dealing with breaking the hold of Mammon, I'd like to encourage you to hear the word, apply the word. Some of us are free from Mammon, and those of us that are free from this hold, let's still receive the knowledge and help those that are not. And let's be on guard, because we may fall into it. Hallelujah. Continuing from where I left off last Sunday, and I'll just give a quick recap, I did say that outside of the kingdom of God, preaching about the kingdom of God, Jesus, the second topic he talked about the most was money, wealth, and possessions. And he put it on the same pedestal. Matthew 6, verse 24. Hallelujah. Matthew 6, 24, he said, no one can serve two masters. No one can be enslaved by two masters. The word there, serve, is to be enslaved, to be a slave of. And he says that either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be loyal to one and despise the other. And he says you cannot serve God and Mammon. Says you cannot serve God and Mammon. It's not a maybe. It's not an in-between. It is an impossibility. This is what God is saying. He says it's either you will serve God or you will serve Mammon. And I said last Sunday that many of us were in the house of God yet are serving Mammon. Mammon is personified as the God of riches and greed, of the God of materialism. What is materialism, friends? Materialism is putting value on possessions, material possessions, more than spiritual things, in a simple form. That's materialism. And a lot of the things that we have gone through or that we experience are because of this same God running our lives. And it is something that is so subtle, so pervasive, so controlling, that it competes for God in your life. And we shared some signs of this thing, how it works in our lives. Child of God, this God, this mammon spirit, is so pervasive that it will control you. Many of us, we are spirit-filled, tongue-talking, yet are under the hold of this spirit. For more of that, find last Sunday's message and we can talk a little bit more on that. But some of the things we looked at were some signs of mammon. One of the things we looked at was what? Worry. We looked at envy. We looked at greed. We looked at the love of money. And we stopped somewhere there. Let's read Luke chapter 12, verse 22 to 34. And I did mention that we will take time on this topic, because for many of us, it is the second or third prayer point, probably the first on our list. It never leaves our list, our prayer list, which tells you that it has held us in captivity. Let's read from verse 22 to verse 34. Luke chapter 12, verse 22 to verse 34. It's almost a similar story to what we read last Sunday in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 to 34. Then he said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest?" Verse 27, "Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, all you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you." Verse 32. "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Amen. Let's look at Luke chapter 16, verse number 10 to verse number 16. We read this last week, but we'll read it again. Let's read together. "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you your trust, the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Amen. And last week we continued up to verse number 16, up to, I think, verse number 15, right? Somewhere there. So looking at the scriptures that we read, we see here some signs that Jesus gave us about mammon. And one of the things we saw in verse number, in Luke chapter number 12, In verse number 22, what does he say there? He says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. But when he's saying therefore, what is he referring to? He's referring to what he had said before. He said what he had said before. Now, when you look at what he had said before, one of the areas we see Mammon working in our lives is covetousness. What is covetousness? Covetousness is what? Somebody help me. Somebody says envious of what belongs to others. Someone says getting what doesn't belong to you. Somebody else? Wanting what others have. All of that is true and more. All of that is true. Think about it, friends. Let's be honest. Many of us are driven by what we see others have. That's what drives a lot of us. In fact, a lot of us, we become competitive not because of our innate desire to succeed, but sometimes it's because of we see somebody else succeeding in that area and we want to be better than them. Or we want to have what they have. And many times it leads to you taking what doesn't belong to you. Start stealing. Start committing adultery. It's not yours. It's hers or his. That is why, friends, God said, you cannot serve God and Mammon. Because Mammon holds us. I'm telling you, in the church, we worship God. We cry to God. But this thing, after we are done, it is still there. I say, you find people go outside. They see somebody dressed nice. They come. But it's because it is not on their head. They start looking down on the other one. This hair. Anyway, it's okay. It looks nice. But in your heart, you're like, I wish that thing needed to be on me. I remember one time meeting these women. They were saying, they were looking at another man. They were saying, that man, he doesn't fit to be her husband. I think he fits to be mine. But we are in the house of God praising God. Listen, friends, a lot of times our prayers are not being answered, not because of anything else, but because Mammon is at work. Because Mammon is at work. And we don't really preach and teach these things in church because pastors, when we start talking about Mammon, the member starts saying, pastor wants money. But I'll show you as we progress why this thing even holds you and me. Listen, for example, if somebody stands up and says we need to give money, what happens? You become very uncomfortable, right? I know some of you don't. But many times people become uncomfortable. You even close your mind. You don't even want to hear anything about money. When you look at the scripture we just read in Luke chapter 16, when you look at the following scripture where we stopped, the Bible says that the Pharisees who did what? Who were lovers of money. We spent time talking about it last week, so I won't go there. What did they do? They sneered at Jesus. They sneered at Jesus. Now, Jesus was telling them, he says, therefore, do not worry, showing them a sign of Mammon, which is worry, which we spent time last week. I won't go there. But why was he telling them that? He was telling them that because he was warning them about something. If you go to Luke chapter 12, go back to verse number 13. Luke chapter 12 and verse number 13. Let's read this. Then one from the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. So this guy is looking at the brother and he's saying, I also need to do what? To enjoy some. Even you today, in the body of Christ, some of your prayers is because you have seen your brother having some. You have seen your sister having some. And so you're telling God, that's your prayer point for some of us. Lord, me too. That's what the guy is saying. Lord, I need some too. And look at what Jesus tells him in verse 14. He says, hey, man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? It's not my position to encourage your covetous spirit. That's what Jesus is saying. Now, look at verse number 15. So Jesus takes this and he uses it as a point, as a teaching point, to talk about what? Covetousness. He says, then, and he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. So this spirit of mammon, it takes a hold of you and brings you to a place of coveting what others have. Coveting what doesn't belong to you. Wanting what others have. Grabbing what doesn't belong to you. Child of God, this is a perversive spirit that holds people captive in captivity. Why do you think things are going on the way they are going on, even in the economies? For most of us, we are just pawns in the bigger game. There is rich and greed at the top. And that is trickling down to you and me in the form of working longer hours, opening on Sunday, opening 24 hours, because suddenly they find there's not enough hours in a day to make more money. And you become the pawn, and in the spirit of the Pharaoh of Egypt, causes you to not be in the house of God. And you fail to worship God because you have to go and serve mammon. I know it's a very uncomfortable topic, but it has to be taught. Somebody has to receive freedom from it. Somebody has to receive freedom from it. He says, one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. How many of us find satisfaction when we have things? All of us are looking for something. All of us are looking for something. The philosophers, the economists, they'll tell you there is a scale upon which man is measured. At the lowest level, you cannot do anything except you must find food, clothing, and shelter. Everything you're doing is for what? Have some food, have some shelter, have some this, right? And then after that, it is only after that that you begin to start looking at others. And very rare that you get to the top of that scale where you're giving back. For many of us, we don't even want to give back. We are at the place of covetousness. We just want to hold. Life does not consist in the abundance of what you have. Look at somebody and tell them, life does not consist in the abundance of the things you have. It's very, very important to understand. When we understand this principle, child of God, our spiritual walk, there will be a shift. You see, a lot of the principles and values that we follow, they come from the world system. The world system is driven by the spirit of mammon. And Jesus gives a parable from verse number 16 to verse number 21. And in that parable, and let's just read it real quickly. Then he spoke a parable to them saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. There I'll store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, so you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? Verse 21. So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So what was God saying there? God is not against you amassing wealth. Let's be very clear. God is not against you being rich. Look at somebody and tell them, God is not against you being rich. God wants you to be wealthy. It's very, very important. Understand that. Because if God did not want you to be rich, if God did not want you to be wealthy, Abraham would not have been rich. And yet Abraham was God's prototype of how you and me ought to live. The Bible says Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver, in gold. He had everything. Let me tell you the extent of how rich Abraham was. Abraham had a private army. How many people have a private army? 318 men trained in his house. If an individual having a private army, that tells you the extent of the wealth that Abraham had.
But you see, today in the house of God, that's all we have taken. We want to be rich. We want to be this. We want to be wealthy. But we are forgetting that that hunger and that quest for materialism is driven not by God, but by the worship of Mammon. And that is why you find that the church, I know these are controversial matters, but the church, particularly in the Western world, is being run and ruled by this same spirit in the name of prosperity. Is there something wrong with prosperity? No. It is a God-given blessing to prosper. But how we have taken it, it's being controlled by Mammon. The Bible says, if you are rich toward yourself, verse 21, and not rich toward God, what will happen to you? You will miss heaven. Last week we talked about the love of money. Money itself is amoral. It is a spirit that is running it that money will take the life of. And so after that, Jesus talks about covetousness. That's when he begins to say, therefore, I tell you, do not worry. Because your life does not consist of these things. So friends, some of the signs of Mammon, we looked at worry. Covetousness, we didn't talk about that. Covetousness, materialism, putting more value on what you possess more than God. Materialism is very, very important to understand, because I read somewhere, somebody was talking about how, let me help somebody. Listen, every day there's a sale. No? There's a sale every day. But that sale, that advertising for a sale, what is it feeding in you? It is feeding your spirit of Mammon. Men, help me. How many times? Anyway, don't answer for the sake of peace after the service. But how many times? You hear that there is a function, there is a party. I'm just saying it like it is. They wore the outfit once only last year. But they have to go to the store to get something else. I'm just showing you some signs. They have to. They have to go, Pastor. There's 19 pairs of shoes. There is one that matches the outfit. No. That one, I forgot that there was this function and I wore it 2 weeks ago. Those people will be there. I need to go and buy another one. And God is saying, and you have been praying. Listen, some of us are actually praying for God to give us money to go to the sale at Macy's. Let me help you. That's Mammon. Just helping somebody. I'm not saying anything. Even men are like that. In some areas. Each one of us, we have our own areas. Listen, I'm just helping somebody here. One's life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions. Listen, a lot of you, as we progress in this topic, you'll find that one of the ways, the way that God helps us deal with this Mammon spirit and breaks it, is by being rich toward God. That's what he says. But how can you be rich toward God? Remember, we are talking about resources. We are talking about breaking free from the spirit of greed, riches, and materialism. And God says the only way you can do it, he says you cannot worship God and man. It's an impossibility. And Mammon. It's an impossibility. Trust me. Many of us, we are stuck with monthly payments at JCPenney which is meant to be reached toward God.
We needed that 74-inch television. And that thing calls for a monthly payment of $159.99. I know, it's a pastor. Listen, I am not against the 74-inch television. I'm not.
Maybe next week we'll talk about it. I think next week is International Sunday. But you'll see, I'm not in a hurry over this matter.
Because it's okay for you to have it. But the Bible says, I think it's Proverbs 27. It says, make sure you take care of that. Check the state of your flocks. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, and I'll show you this in maybe next week, but it's in Proverbs. It says, tend to your flocks, meaning plan. Look at what you have. See where you are. Many of us, we can't handle the $159.99 payment, but we do it. Because when you went to her home, you found a 64-inch. So you cannot get a 64-inch. You need a 74. Oh, you have 50 now, you need to upgrade. Okay. Leave it there. Are you seeing these things, friends? You see, in church, we have become so accustomed to rabo shata. God will bless you, God will bless you. But we need to find out why we are continually praying these prayers and nothing is happening. Because even when God blesses you, you will not see the blessing. Because 89% of your income is going towards paying debt. You've never been there, so leave me alone. But when you look at it, where did it all start from? Listen, it is a sale. Do you know it's at 50% off? Yes. It's at 50% off to them, but you're still spending money, which you never planned for. Huh? You didn't plan for it. Oh, no, but I'm saving. No, you're not saving. You're spending. It's 50%. It was $100. Now it's at $50. But even the 50, you don't have it. You may have it in your bank, but you had planned to the next day to go to church with it and give towards missions, which the Bible says, take care of the needy. But it was on sale, and I can't miss it. So I could go to that party with it. And you're disappointed at the party, the food, you didn't even like it. They didn't play your favorite song. By the time you leave, you're complaining from the party to the house. And when you show up in church and they say, oh, remember we talked about missions, today's mission. J.C. Penney took it. And God is saying, I was about to bless you today because you were giving that $50 for my work. Now, I don't have anything to look at to bless you with. It's not me talking. Jesus. So is he who lays up treasure for himself and not rich towards God. I'm just showing you some things. Life does not consist in the abundance of what we have. It doesn't. So when you look at the scripture, you see Jesus is talking about that. Greed. Jesus talked about greed. We talked a little bit about greed last time. Because you see, greed produces arrogance in us and overconfidence in people. Let me tell you what Mammon does. In verse number 19, the Bible says, and I'll say to my soul, or verse number 18, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, where I'll store all my crops and my goods. Holding back, keeping, when you should be releasing. That's what Mammon does. Listen, some signs of Mammon. Stinginess. Stinginess. Some people are stingy. Stingy. I won't say much on that one. I just talked about uncontrolled spending. Some signs of Mammon. Wanting others to spend on you, but you never want to spend on others. That's a big one. There are many of us, we always want to be blessed. We always want somebody to do something for us, but we never want to do anything for other people. We never do. I don't know. Have you met people that even if they have the money, they say, I don't have it. But they want you to buy for them. I used to have a friend like that. You go somewhere, they will just sit as if they don't have anything. The days when I used to have a little, to, you know. And because they know that the big spender has come, so they put their money and keep it there. The money won't come out. We want you always. And when you don't have, they leave you. They go and spend on themselves. Ah, you don't have friends like that. You don't know anybody like that. And the sad thing is, my sister, some of them, they lift holy hands in it. Hallelujah. They lift holy. Listen, there is a place where you say, no, I'm not going to help because... Listen, you have to notice there are some people are like that. They will not spend on you. They just want you to spend on them. So you need the Spirit of God to show you the Spirit that is working in their lives so you can say, no, enough is enough. Trust me. You have to get to that place where you say, enough is enough. If I continue, I am feeding the spirit of Mammon here. But you need the Spirit of God to help you. Look at somebody and tell them, Pastor is not talking about you. I know you like spending on others. Have you seen some couples? The man is always the one. The woman is very rare. And when the man even doesn't do it just once, man, let me help you. If you only have one gift to give, make sure you give it on the birthday or on the anniversary. Don't just give it anyhow and think when the birthday comes, you say, oh no, but I gave you 2 weeks ago. No, it was an early birthday. You are better off keeping it until on the day. Just helping somebody. I know this thing. Even, hallelujah. I hope I'm helping someone. To see some signs of this thing and to see why some of our prayers are not going anywhere. Unbelief is another sign of Mammon. You don't believe the word of God concerning money. Remember, we're talking about resources here. You don't believe the word of God concerning money. You don't believe it. You believe in your own ability, in your own power. Listen, there are two ways in which you can receive resources. You can, you know, but the choice is yours. You can work and receive resources in your own power, or you can work and receive resources with God's power. There are two ways. And many people today, we feel we have no need of God because we are able to put food on the table. We are able to put savings. We are able to run 5 companies. We have no need of God. And this was the position of this man. He was a rich man. He stored for himself. He did not need God. He had no need of God. But God was telling him, listen, your possessions will not take you to heaven. Your possessions will not give you peace. Your possessions will not give you contentment. Your possessions will not give you eternal life. So, there is a way in which we can pursue wealth. We can pursue riches. We can pursue possessions.
but it will not give us eternal life. And there is a way in which we can pursue them with God, and God will give us eternal life. Which one do you want to be? You see, today, Mammon is running the world and telling people, you don't need God. You don't need God. But we read the scripture. The Bible says you can't even control the hair. Even if you put the color thing in your hair, the hair will still turn gray. Even if you do hair restoration, it will still... Hallelujah. The Bible says in verse number 23, life is more than food and the body more than clothing. From verse number 24 to verse number 26, he says, listen, the ravens, they don't sow. They don't do anything, but they don't worry. They are not anxious. Verse number 26, anxiety. They are not. But why are you anxious? Verse 28, he says, if God can do it for the grass, which today is and tomorrow is thrown, how much more you? How much more you, oh you of little faith? And many of us, we say we have faith, but this scripture challenges. This scripture challenges us. Hallelujah. So we have to be aware of this thing. Look at verse number 30. He says, let's read together. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 32, he says the same thing. He says, for all these things the Gentiles are looking after them. Everybody is wanting them. And God knows you need to be wealthy. God knows you need to be rich. God knows you need to do business. God knows you need to be educated. God knows. God knows. But he's saying there is a way in which you can get these things. Either through Mammon or through God. Hallelujah. Either through Mammon or through God. There are no two ways about it. That's why he says you cannot serve God and Mammon. So it's either you are progressing through God or progressing without God. And I want to help somebody. You can be in church and not be with God. Look at somebody again and tell them, you can be in church and yet not be with God. Because you see, we are deceived. You know what Mammon does is it allows you to come to church. But it still controls how you live your life after church. It still controls you. He says, all these things that you seek after. So how do we begin to break from this thing? How do we begin to break from the hold of Mammon? When you look at the Ten Commandments, what is the first commandment? Sunday school teaching. You shall have no other gods before me. That's the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. Remember when they asked Jesus, teacher, what is the greatest commandment? What did he say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and soul. And then he says the second is what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Why? Because the first four commandments of the Ten Commandments, they deal with God. Your relationship with God. The remaining six deal with your relationship with other people. You shall have no other gods before me. Now, remember, think about this. Now, go to what Jesus said in Matthew 6:24 or in Luke 12. He said what? You cannot serve God and Mammon. So, which means every time you are under the grip of Mammon, he says what? You shall have no idols. Go to verse number 4. Continue. Verse number 4. He says what? You shall not make for yourself any image. Anything. That's an idol. Verse 5. You shall not serve them. Why? For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. So when you are serving Mammon, you are incurring the wrath of God. Because when you look at it, he says, you shall have no other gods before me. We are putting a god before him. He says, you shall have no idols. We are making an idol. What's an idol? Anything that comes in the place of God. Think about it. What are you making as an idol in your life? What are you making as an idol in your life? Some of us, our education has become our idol. Some of us, our possessions have become an idol. I remember this young man. He didn't have a car. Prayed for a car. He had a car. On Sunday, he missed church. On Sunday, he missed church again. Where are you? The guy was at the car wash washing his car. True story. Following Sunday, where are you? The car. The car. The car. Before you had a car, you were in the house of God. Praying, seeking God. When the car came, the car wash? No. There's that Sunday. It says Sunday is the only day I can take my car for fixing. So you take it to Merchant Tire, something. Takes the car there on Sunday. Because that's the only day I can do it. Oh, where is God now in it? God is gone. You know what happened to that car? For you, it may not be a car. It may be something else. Maybe something else. For you, it may not be a car. I remember when our twins were born. And they were just young babies, and we used to do overnight, and we used to carry them in the winter. And people told us off. I still remember. They told us off. Say, the babies are too small. You should not be bringing them to church. I said, you don't know how I prayed for these children. We were not on family planning. We were seeking God for children. You know our testimony. 9 years we were waiting. And then God gave us twins. Now we should be staying home with them. No! We'll drag them with us. The same God who gave them to us. The same God who healed their cough, who healed their cord. The same God. Today they're 19 and in college. Or 18 and in college. Because I had to make a choice. Am I going, is it them? I remember, because now twins have come and God is a God of double. Then another one, bonus came. Bah! Income could not sustain us. I had to get 3 jobs. You are looking at me. I had to get 3 jobs. 3 jobs. Tell somebody, I say, Pastor, I had what? 3 jobs. I used to work in the bank. When I'm done with the bank, I used to do overnight. I used to do security. I was a security officer for a company in Rockville. Then, on the one day that I was off from the bank, I used to do deliveries. Why? So that I could finance the blessing. Guess what used to happen on Sunday? After waking 20, I never used to rest, because when I hit Friday, I'm not seeing that bed until Sunday afternoon. So Sunday morning is the time to sleep. I put my head on the bed and God said, so now where is my portion? She's my witness. My pastor is my witness. I will get home and say, when everybody's ready, wake me up. 1 hour I'll sleep and I'll be in church. If I'm sleeping, I told Pastor, Pastor, please forgive me. I may be feeling sleepy. I have to stand up and be at the back. You know why? Because one day I said, God has blessed me. He has given me the children I wanted. He has given me double. And he has also, now I need some resources. He has allowed me to do these 3 jobs. But is he going to suffer because he has blessed me? No. God is my witness. As far as I remember, and I'm standing here on the altar of God, I did not miss church because I was too tired. Because I made a point. I said, if God has blessed me. Now, guess what my prayer point was? Thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Now, Lord, please give me 1 job. So I can have more time to worship you. And to cut a long story short, God wrapped all 3 jobs into 1 job. That's how God works. You have to decide, am I going to be controlled by mammon, or am I going to be controlled by God? It's a choice each one of us has to make. Listen, if you are a child of God, There are no compromises with God.
Huh?
There are no compromises with God.
Let's go back to Luke chapter 12 as we wind up. We'll continue on this next week. Is it helping somebody today? Luke chapter 12, verse 30. Verse 30. Now go to verse number 31. He says, your father knows that you do what? You need these things. Now, after he has told you about covetousness, about mammon, about serving God, about worrying, about anxiety, about hoarding, about stinginess, he says, I'm giving you now the solution to break mammon. He says, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? God's way of doing things. That's what the kingdom of God is. God's rule. God's domain. Seek God. Seek the way God handles things. And you are going to see the hand of God in your life. I know some of you are sitting here, you say, but Pastor, I've been seeking the kingdom of God. As we go into this, we'll examine whether we've really been seeking the kingdom of God. He says, seek all these things. Verse number 32. He says, do not fear, little flock, for it is your father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's your father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But do you know what's competing with the kingdom? Our needs. Our covetousness. Thank you. Our greed. Let me tell you one more. These things. There was a young lady. This young man really wanted the young lady, but he was not a believer. So she told him, listen, the stories I tell you, I don't tell them to you out of the blue. I tell you these things out of personal testimonies and experiences. The guy followed her to church, 6 months. Followed her to church. So the pastor said, hallelujah, baptized and everything. The day after the wedding, she said, let's go to church. He said, which church? I'm telling you a true story. He says, I only went there because you told me that I should be there. And you are the one I wanted. So now I have you. And the man was no longer in the house of God. Guess what's the next step for the girl? The pressures of that life now changes. It's no longer the kingdom. It's the man. Let me tell you, men have great power to pull you down. You think you are going to church? They'll pull you down. May the hold of mammon be broken over your lives. May the kingdom of God become paramount in your life. You need to question yourselves when we talk about seeking the kingdom. What exactly is seeking the kingdom? The way you are living your life as a Christian today, can you say you're seeking the kingdom? Or can you say you're under the grip of mammon? It's a question I leave to you to answer, and we'll continue on this next week.